Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Would you welcome Jay John and Kelly John? And we are so glad to have you back.
Thank you.
It was such a joy.
Thank you.
And we pray for you as you proclaim and this message to us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Brits are back in town. I should say English, because I'm not Scottish. It's great to be back and to be with you, and also greetings to everyone in the Elliott Hall, and greetings to everyone that is tuned in online. This week we went to visit Ben Bell in the care home, and I said to Ben Bell, well, I'm preaching on Sunday, would you like me to preach the message to you? So he said yes, so I preached him the message that I'm about to preach to you. And then when I concluded, I said, Ben, how was it? He says, it was good. So, according to Ben Bell, the message that you're about to hear is good. But actually, let's just pause for a moment and let's pray for Ben Bell and any other members of the church that are in care homes that may need a miracle. Lord, we commit to you Ben Bell and anyone else who's a member of this church, maybe in a care home or maybe at home, who need a miracle. And we pray, Lord God, for a healing miracle today of restoration and well-being. And we pray and we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I gather that Pastor Jay last week preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And when Pastor Callum, he contacted me several months ago and he says, what's the title of your sermon? And it's like, I couldn't even, you know, I can't get my head around what I'm doing this week. And he wants the title for 3 months' time. And but I just knew that for some reason, this message was the message today. And Killy, you're going to read the scriptures.
The scriptures come from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 38. Jesus arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Killy. I'm going to draw out from that particular story and passage 4 words. The first word is remove. What's the first word? Remove. Okay, the instruction was to remove the stone. Now, I find that fascinating that Jesus, he could have removed the stone with a word, because he's the creator of the entire universe. And he even said, if the mountain is in your way, just tell it to move. You know, so if he wanted to, he could have just said, stone, move. But he didn't. And that's the great thing about Jesus, is that Jesus wants us to work with him. I remember when our kids were little, and I just said, hey, I'm going to just go and wash the car. And our little son, Michael, he was about 5. He said, Daddy, Daddy, can I come? Can I help you? And I thought, not really. You know, but yes, of course. And then I've got to find another bucket. I've got to go and get another sponge. I've got, so what do I do, Daddy? What do I do, Daddy? I said, well, okay, you wash the headlamps. And every minute, Daddy, Daddy, am I doing it well? And I went to have a look. No, you're not. You're not doing it well. You got your hand, your fingerprints all over the car. I'm going to have to redo it. But I never said any of that. Why? It brought me great joy that my little boy, he wanted to help his daddy. You know, I wonder whether God sometimes looks down and thinks, oh dear, I could do a better job. But he doesn't, because he wants us to work with him. So he instructs, move the stone. Now, here's the question. Is there a stone standing between you and Jesus? Is there a stone standing between you and a miracle? Have we created a wall of stones that are obstructing the presence and the power of Jesus? Shall I tell you one of the stones, sadly, that most of us construct and build? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is toxic. Unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and hoping someone else will be sick. Unforgiveness. We even prayed it just a moment ago. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. If we do not forgive, we break the bridge on which we must cross. In fact, we are not allowed to take Holy Communion if we have unforgiveness. We're instructed in Scripture that if you have an issue with somebody, you're not allowed to take Holy Communion until you go and restore that broken relationship. I urge you and I encourage you, should that principle apply to you, I urge you today. Don't even wait till tomorrow. I urge you today. Pick up the phone. Text, email, and say, we need to restore this. Often, that is one of the biggest stones that obstructs the presence and the power of Jesus. It could be other stones. The question is this: is there a stone standing between you and Jesus? Is there a stone standing between you and a miracle? So question number one, or word number one, remove. Word number one?
Remove.
Okay, word number two, respond. Word number two?
Respond.
Jesus shouts out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Okay, you know how sometimes you cross your leg, and when you cross your leg for a little while, your leg goes to sleep, you know, like pins and needles, and it's gone, oh, 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 oh. I mean, I sometimes do this, and Killy goes, oh, you're such a drama queen, you know, and it's like, ah, oh, you know, my leg's gone to sleep. Okay, can you imagine what it was like if you'd been dead for 4 days? I mean, everything has gone to sleep. Everything. Now, you could say that Jesus was very unpastoral. You'd think Jesus would be pastoral. Bit unpastoral. I mean, Jesus didn't say, hey guys, he's been dead for 4 days. He's a little bit stiff. Why don't you take him some herbal tea? Go in the tomb, take him some herbal tea, and maybe massage him a bit. Because, you know, it's going to be tight. It's going to be quite tight. Do you know something? I think sometimes we're always waiting for someone else to step in. And I think sometimes we've just got to get up. Don't wait for someone else to come and help you. Don't wait for someone to come and pamper you. Don't wait for someone else. Get up. Get up. Now, here's the question. Has Jesus asked you to do something, but you haven't done it? That's the question. Has Jesus instructed you to do something, but you haven't done it? Now, frequently, I will get people coming up to me and say, oh, J. John, please, could I have your advice? And I say, yes. And they say, well, I feel that I'm at a crossroads and I need guidance. And I tend to say, has God told you to do something and you haven't done it? Now, 9 times out of 10, when I ask that question, they say, yes. So I say, well, why are you asking for further directions? If you haven't done what he's already asked you to do, why are you asking him for further directions? Just do what he's asked you to do. Killy and I, we were at our local church, and the pastor got up and he said, oh, I'm very, very sorry. This is in the service. I'm very sorry to bring this up in the service, but we desperately need more people to sign up for the coffee rota to serve coffee at the end of the service. And I thought, why don't people in this church volunteer? You know, I was like, oh, I can't believe the pastor has to mention it in the service. Why don't people volunteer? As I'm thinking that, boom, I get this conviction. You know when you get a quiver in your liver? You kind of feel it. And I turned around and looked at the man behind me. The man behind me is looking at me going, you know, why are you looking at me? And I thought maybe the word, it went out from the front, but I got in the way. Well, you know how sometimes you lean over a little bit, you just lean over, and maybe the word was for him. You know, and then I turned around and I started being agitated and I was saying, Lord, I'm not a barista. I mean, no. Anyway, at the end of the service, Killy goes, what is wrong with you? Why were you fidgeting? And I said, oh, Killy, I think the Lord wants you and me to serve coffee. She said, do you think I'm stupid? He wants you to serve coffee. And I'm like, well, I can't do it on my own. So both of us went to see the lady to sign up for coffee. She started laughing. She says, you're never here. I said, well, we are. We're here once a month. 3 weekends of the month, we go and preach and minister in other churches. 1 weekend a month, we attend our local church. So I said, how about we serve coffee every month when we come? So she signed us up. You had to get to church early. We had to set it all up. And after the first time we did it, I didn't like the coffee. I didn't think it was very good. So we bought our own coffee. We upped it. Yeah. And the cups weren't very decent cups. We bought really nice ones. And they didn't even give you a cookie. How can you not have a cookie? So we bought cookies, and then we had a napkin so you could put the cookie on the napkin. So we started investing in doing coffee. 3 years later, we felt the Lord say, that's it. I said to the Lord, no, I love serving coffee. But you see, God guides our steps and he guides our stops. And we loved it. And we met more people once a month for 3 years in the church than we had ever met in the previous 17 years. I get people writing to me saying, Jay John, can I meet with you? And I'm an evangelist. Can I meet with you to talk? And there was one Irish evangelist who wrote to me and said, you're going to be leading a mission in Belfast and I live in Belfast. Can I meet with you? So I said, of course, come and meet us. So he came to the hotel. I said, well, who are you? He said, well, I'm an evangelist, but I'm a fireman. And I said, oh, that's great. He said, no, I really believe God wants me to give up being a fireman and become a full-time evangelist. So I said, oh, that's great. And he said, no, you don't understand. I've got a full-time salary. I've got a pension. I've got a wife. I've got 2 children. I can't just give it all up. I said, but did God tell you give it up? He said, yes. I said, well, just do it. He says, well, how am I going to survive? I said, well, how much do you earn? So he told me. I said, well, you just need 10 people to give you this amount of money. Then you have your first year's salary. As I said this, I heard the Lord say to me, give him the first tenth. I said, no. I don't want to. I've just met this man. I'm always giving stuff away. I give it all the way. I don't want to give him. I know many women don't think we can multitask. I was talking to him and I was talking to God. And I'm going, I don't want to. But I mean, there's no point arguing with God because you'd be miserable. So I said to him, I'm going to give you the one tenth. And he starts weeping. He can't believe it. And then I said to him, if you don't become a full-time evangelist, you give it back to me. He became a full-time evangelist. He is the most influential evangelist in Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland. He employs 35 people. It was me. It was me. I gave him the first tenth. Has God asked you to do something, but you haven't yet done it? A couple of years ago, I felt the Lord say to me, book the Emirates Football Stadium in London. For those of you that follow soccer, it's the home of Arsenal Football Club. And I just felt, book the stadium, preach the gospel. It cost 1.2 million. We had £0. $0. We did it. God did it. So whether it's serving coffee, whether it's giving some money away, whether it's booking a stadium, the same question. Has Jesus instructed you to do something, but you haven't done it? Just go and do it. Trust me. Just go and do it. Word number one, remove. Word number two, respond. So then he gets up, and he walks out. Because he's all tied up in bandages. And Jesus says, release him. Now you see, he wasn't given any help when he was in the tomb. But now that he's out of the tomb, Jesus instructs other people to help him. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel bound in some way in your life? Do you feel there's an area in your life where you don't seem to experience freedom? Something's like binding you. Do you need to be released from something that is binding you? Now, if you do, we can ask the Lord to unbind you and set you free. We can ask others to come alongside you and pray for you and help pastor you and help take those wrappings off so that you can see, so that you can use your hands, so that you can speak, so that you can walk. We need to remove anything between us and Jesus. We need to respond to anything he's instructed us to do. We need to be released from anything that is binding us. First word. Second word. Third word. Fourth word. Reveal. Fourth word. Reveal. And we read in John chapter 12, verse 17. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. We reveal the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the truth of God to other people. And Pastor Jay and Pastor Callum, they've asked me on Tuesday evening to come here to the Elliott Hall, 6:30, to teach on how we can communicate our faith to other people. Can I encourage you to come Tuesday night? Come to the Elliott Hall and 1 hour, 1 hour, maybe 1 hour and 5 minutes, 1 hour, 5 minutes, I'm going to teach how we can communicate our faith to others. Please come if you can. I know we're all the same. You're thinking, well, I'm here in church on Sunday. You're asking me to come again on Tuesday? Listen, I've come from London. Is anyone coming further than that? Come on Tuesday. We're going to have lots of fun. Remove. Respond. Release. Reveal. I'll tackle reveal on Tuesday. How do we respond? Well, as I draw to a conclusion, we all need to ask these questions. And we need to answer honestly. Is there a stone standing between me and Jesus? Is it unforgiveness? Is it something else? Am I willing to do something about it? Respond. Has Jesus asked you to do something and you haven't yet done it? Will you do it? Do you feel bound by something? Do you desire to be released? If you feel in any way yes to one or more of those, could I ask you, please, would you stand? If that's you, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you. And if you're in the Elliott Hall, would you please stand? And if you're online, maybe you're cooking Sunday lunch, well, can you sit down? Or if you're sitting down having coffee, could you stand up? I just want you to kind of do something to say, yes. You know, it's your way of saying, I'm getting up. Okay, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. I will pray this prayer phrase by phrase. Okay, I will pray it once so you know the words. And the second time I pray the prayer, would you join in with me and pray the prayer out loud? And actually, Killy, can you just come? And then when we've prayed that prayer, can you say a prayer for us all? That would be lovely. Here's the prayer. Jesus, I bow before you now. Jesus, I bow before you now. I acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my life. Set me free from the past. Set me free from the past. Heal my life. Heal my life. I invite you into my life now. I invite you into my life now. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your peace and your presence. Fill me with your peace and your presence. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your power. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. Help me to follow you. Help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for each one of them that stood. Lord, you know their hearts. You know them by name. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. Lord, that this week would be an amazing week for them. That, Lord, as they walk through it, things that they've listened to today and the worship that we've heard, Lord, it would just keep resonating with them. And Lord, for your peace and your protection over each one of them as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.